us. Let's do us. Let's do us here. We're here for us. We're here for this.
I hit recording early because I knew that Siakwa would say something that I would that I would have to prompt him to say again. So I was like, no, we're going to just do this different this time. So,
yeah, that's good.
Everybody,
that's good.
This is Just Think the Podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
And Siakwa. Oh, sorry.
No, we didn't.
That wasn't what we were doing.
No. Siakwa,
that glare
you're part
is
of the fam.
Me off.
No, you're part of the fam, so you get to bring yourself right on in. We're totally down with that.
The fourth square today.
The fourth square. There it is.
The fourth square. We are so happy for you because we see the tide is turning. You know, the last time that we talked, so guys, we've met with Siakwa before on the podcast. We encourage you to go back and refer to his whole story because we're not going to go into his whole story again today. But just to recap, Siakwa, why don't you tell them, basically you're a J6 story. You're the one who gave us some more insider information because what we found with J6 is that we were watching on TV live when we saw people going into the Capitol, and I remember having that fear and trepidation feeling of like, what's going to happen? But there was no real coverage other than sort of this, like, they sensationalized the narrative while when they would show the videos, like, you did see the people who, the people who went and, like, stood on desks in Nancy Pelosi's office. But most of what we saw were people filing in and out of a Capitol building. And so I remember having this feeling of like, what? Help me understand what really happened. Yeah. Like it felt like it was shrouded in some kind of secrecy. Yeah. And then when you have this J6 committee that destroys all evidence under the Biden administration, then I think we all go, unless you were there, do you really know what happened? And you were there. So will you just quickly tell, just recap, you were there. What happened?
But I was there. It was a mostly peaceful protest. And so, I mean, literally, right? Except there was nothing burning. There was nothing burning. Other than that, went to the speech, actually went back to my hotel right after, saw a news clip on MSNBC, how they were portraying us, which they were lying. Like in my experience, they were lying about Trump supporters. So I was going to go down there and give her the what for, you know, and now you can tell I've been in Tennessee for a while. I'm using what for. But I started. So I went down there and, you know, initially just saw people were just kind of meandering around, hanging out. Got interviewed with MAGA Hulk for some lady there. People started singing the national anthem. I did see a couple cops start like getting a little bit aggressive with people, but nothing too crazy. The groups were hanging out. Cops were standing on the side, just watching people. I walk into the east side of the building and I walk, I stand in the doorway for 71 seconds. And this is all on my X if people want to check it out over there. Siakwa_Massacre. But I'm standing in the doorway, 71 seconds. I see police standing against the wall. I'm talking to one cop there. One cop comes up to me, riot gear. I was like, I need you guys to leave. I'm like, okay, we're being reasonable. Turn around, repeat his directive to the people behind me. Walk around. And then I end up, long story short, I leave and go back to my hotel. And I made a joke walking with somebody. I was like, man, if this was a BLM riot, all those cars parked right there would be on fire. And everyone laughs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fast forward to June 10th of 21. Next thing you know, I get my house raided. And FBI comes in, 15 agents, guns drawn, pointed in my face, my best friends, my godsons. Thank God Charlotte and I weren't together at the time because that would have been a whole nother thing. But yeah, and then I was on a quiet skies list for 2.5 years. And so every time I flew, when they came and raided my house, I always like to point out, I was never charged or arrested for anything. So then I got put on this quiet skies list. And so I have been harassed every time I flew and in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. Right.
Right.
And so that was going on. So then, those 2.5 years been going crazy, but I decided I ran for our local office, a state assembly in North Hollywood, California. I didn't win, but I got 17% as a first time candidate in the deep blue sea. I became LA vice chair. I've done some sketches many may know called California's Move to Texas with Babylon B. I started working. I've been an actor in Hollywood basically up until that point. I've done movies with Daily Wire now, and now I am also working with Daily Wire as Black Jeremy. I am the black version of Jeremy Boring, which is awesome. I think I bring a little more style to yes. Jeremy's razors, but that's just me. So I just recently was my court date. Actually, I hadn't talked to you guys. My court date was supposed to be in October, and then we got moved out because one of my lawyers is Jewish, and it was like, you know, only one, no, technically two, but one only practices. So we had a Jewish holiday, so it got pushed out to January 21st. Mm. Yeah. Oh. So Trump wins. We end up like petitioning the judge, like, hey, can we move it out or can we just move it out or dismiss it because he's going to pardon? Judge goes, no, nothing's official yet. So for basically from November 5th, I had to go to all the way to January 21st. I had to go to D.C. So my wife and I, the judge, we did three different attempts to try to get it pushed back. The judge was like, no, nothing's official. Nothing's official. We ended up, my wife, my son Xavier and I, we ended up going to D.C. My aunt lives out there. So actually it didn't cost us too crazy because it was inauguration weekend, you know, so I got to stay with my aunts at my aunt's house. And fortunate enough, I actually got to work, the Oregon party, Republican Party's inauguration party. So I worked it that night, and I got that night when I was sitting there, before the event started, I'm looking at my phone, someone sends it to me. It's like pardon of all J6ers and any current cases going forward. So that night was ended up being like, not just a celebration of him being elected, but there, I think there was a moment, I got that when the night had been going on and the bands were playing. So one of the bands that were playing the second song before they got into it, I like interrupted them because I was the MC, and I get on stage. I'm like, hey guys, real quick, I'm sorry. I just have to say freedom. And like, I start reading off and here it is. All J6ers have been pardoned. And so it was an amazing night. It was so great. And the next morning, my lawyer filed to move the case out because we technically were supposed to start like jury selection on the 21st, move the case out. And then at the same time, he filed right after to dismiss. The next morning at 9 o'clock, he calls me up. He goes, hey, did you see the case got moved? I was like, great. He goes, oh, wait, hold on. It's dismissed. Like he got the email right on our phone at 9 a.m. in the morning.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I mean, and you didn't assault a police officer.
Nope.
There was never a charge. When did they formally charge you, Siaka? Because I know when they raided you, there was no charge. So what
So they ended up on November 30th. I was coming back from Nashville after shooting for the premiere of Lady Ballers for Daily Wire.
Yeah.
They arrested me on the tarmac of Burbank Airport.
Right.
And they moved, you know, they sin the cane, boom, they separated me and my wife. I had to spend a night in jail. When I officially got charged with four misdemeanors. That's why they decided to move like I was, you know, Carlo Escobar running drugs and women or something, where they had to come get me as soon as I touched the tarmac. They're like, we got you. And the warrant was issued on November 15th. So they waited 2 weeks before they did it. And they could have came to my house. They knew where I was. I was vice chair of LAGOP. Like I ran for office. I'm very public in what I am and what I, you know, where I lived and what I do. So
yeah,
I mean, they were doing that for the show.
To hear what the prosecution would have said to a jury in your case, like what would they have said? What would they have said? How do they paint? Would they just blatantly lie? Like, it's just, hard to go through it, but it's just amazing that like, they're really going to select a jury for this.
Yeah. Well, but the jury selection was part of our tactic because there was either you go jury or you can go bench. If you do bench, it goes a lot quicker. So for us, we knew the pardons were coming. We just didn't know. He said the day of, but we didn't know because he took him so much longer in the day to get there. So part of our thing was like, look, let's go jury. All it means is one person to go, man, this is a little too excessive.
Right.
As opposed to the judge, because there was one ruling that the appellate court came down and was like, if you just were there, that's disorderly. So the judge would have to rule on that. With one juror, though, it could be like, even if you understood that was the law, you could like any one of you could go, you know what? That's crazy. This guy was just standing here. Like that is what we were hoping for. But we're also that would have gave us 2 days of court time before they got into their argument. And the other side is if you look at other J6ers cases, everything that the government said about them and lied and tried to like create this narrative of look at this crazy terrorist is on the record for American history. Mine isn't. because my case was dismissed. Mm-hmm. So there's no, okay. they don't, no one can go pull something and go, well, you, they said here you were blah, 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 blah. Whether I defend myself or not, or whether the case ended or not, a lot of the stuff was what would be on the record forever. And I mean, this is nothing but God, because that it didn't have to go through that. They didn't have to, you know, Amy, they didn't have to say any crazy things about me, because they were going to use every interview I ever did, the how passionate I would be at the Beverly Hills rallies and all that. They were going to use everything they could to paint me as a bad guy.
Right.
Because that was their job. That's what they did. Yep. And the reason we know this, it was so wild. Before the election, my mother went to visit her aunt, who is in her 90s. And her aunt says, I mean, no, I'm voting for Biden. And my mother's like, why? She goes, thousands of people died on January 6th. And my mother was like,
wow. Wow.
My mom goes, this is what they think.
Wow.
They literally think. And my mom was like, one person died and it was a protester who was shot. And then now you said we didn't know this until you introduced us to this.
Yeah. Like the first interview, I was like, oh, I mean, because I had a discussion with one of my former colleagues. She was a nursing supervisor, and she was saying, like, all these people died and everything. And I like looked it up and sent it to her. And of course I know that there's stuff that's like said heart attacks. And I know one guy ended up having a stroke, but that had nothing to do with that. But they're saying that the heart attacks and strokes were caused by the stress of it, maybe. But I didn't realize, who was the woman that you said with the Capitol Police?
So you had Roseanne Boyland. Okay. So Roseanne Boyland, and I've seen this video, if you guys want to watch. What's his name? Nick Searcy did Capital Punishment, and he did a War on Truth.
Okay.
And that second movie, because both movies were J6 movies. We're looking to possibly do a third, you know, a trilogy of the aftermath, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the footage, and it's in that movie. And this woman, heavy set woman, was not only trampled because of the crushing going on in the tunnel, but she was also beaten over and over and repeatedly by a female Capitol Police officer.
Wow.
And then when she was then pulled in, and I've seen this now, guys, this is not like, oh, you heard this or that. They pull her in and then they try to give her CPR, and she was already dead.
Wow.
And you don't hear a word about her. You barely hear about Ashley.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
A lot about the cop who had the heart attack.
Right. He had the heart attack. I'll tell you like this. He probably had the heart attack because he saw what they were doing to Americans and railroading them. But then, and Christine, I just sent you the other guys. So there's also Benjamin Phillips and Kevin Greason. Those guys died of heart attacks when they shot with the tear gas pellets hit them when they were standing around. So it hit both of those guys, and they end up having heart attacks when they get sprayed. So you never heard about that. So four Americans who were just there standing around for most of the time. I mean, Ashley tried to climb in, we get that, but the result of that is the shooter.
Right.
And
so four Americans died that day because of the actions of the Capitol Police and the DC Metro Police, who by law aren't allowed to be there, by the way.
Wow. And who Trump, we now know, this has now been documented, that he tried to bring in the National Guard to prevent this. And Nancy Pelosi, Biden, and there was one other. There was three people who rejected it.
The mayor.
Bowser. Yeah. So here, and here's the funny thing about it too. And this is something that this is one of the narratives that I want to run with. And every time we talk about J6, to bring it up as consistently as possible. If you guys hire a security team and that security team fails, do you sit there and just rail on the attacker over and over and over and keep the security team? Or do you want the security team to be held accountable? Mm-hmm. Why are we never, and why did the media for 4 years never talk about a place that is maybe next to the White House, the most secure place on the planet? Well, outside of Fort Knox, maybe, right? If there's any gold still left there. That's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show. Why did the media not ever want to go, okay, this was a breach of security at a level that should be unacceptable for the United States of America, that people with flags and sticks can get in?
Right. Yeah.
And who should be, like, why isn't anyone fired? How do people keep their jobs when with such a huge security breach? Okay, even if I give them, like, a terrible day and democracy and Trump supporters try, okay, I'll give you that. Maybe, you know, let's just say it for argument's sake. But for security's sake, why then would I ever trust the people who were in charge at the time to protect sensitive situations, people, and you know, information, because they've proven they can't with people who didn't have any guns.
Like, I mean, it shows you that it was, I mean, in my opinion, intentional, because there's
very intentional.
An NFL game trying to get into a sports stadium.
Yes.
It's locked down. People can't just get in. No. If you're going to have, like you said, this is one of the most secure buildings in our country. You know, these places on, I mean, I've heard any other given day, if people are trying to go tour the Capitol or something, I mean, to be able to get in to tour these things in DC, it's like, you got to jump through all these hoops and stuff. It's, so how could this much of a failure happen without there being some level of, like, allowing it?
Yeah, I think, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's very similar to what's happening right now when they're exposing all the BS, like where all the fraud and corruption, but people are mad about the people exposing it.
Exposing it, yeah.
Instead of, you know, what's actually happening.
They're like, what's wrong? They're paying people who are over 120 years old, but you're like, Elon's looking into your stuff. You're like, okay, wait. Okay.
Right.
Again, even if I give you that.
Right.
This thing is gross. This is worse. Like, why are we not, like, looking at this thing over here? Like, even if I give you that.
Right.
You know, and Amy, to your point about it being purposeful, that day, and I think maybe I mentioned it last time when I was on, that day they were supposed to litigate the electors in the voting process. That's what they were there to do.
Yes.
Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley were going to go there and litigate their position that places like Pennsylvania, places like Michigan, changed their voting laws from mail-in by judiciary and not by legislative, which is their own constitution, and our constitution says they have to do it. So when people want to talk about, was there massive fraud? Three states changed their voting without doing it the wrong way.
That's right.
So, yes, that's fraud just right there. I don't even have to go into the stuffing and the this and the that. No, they illegally changed the way you vote in those states, which happened to go for the guy that, you know, was the other guy, right?
Which was activist judges, too. I mean, let's be real. The judges knew they weren't supposed to rule on that. That was, like you said, that was a legislative decision, not judiciary. Yep. And they did it anyway. Three different states. And then you add the whole.
It was judiciary, not legislative.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes. And so that's just the people who don't want to hear the truth are just never going to hear it.
Because we're going to see it. No, we're going to see it. Because I think that if you look at how Trump's been moving with his executive orders, he's been hitting on every level. And it's almost like how they've been attacking us, right? Think about this. Yeah. Your schools, your music, your TV, like your food. You go to your grocery store, you're like, come on, all right, rainbow, but not really rainbow because it's only six, not seven. You know, like all these different things. But yet he's coming back and he's attacking them everywhere. And they're on their back foot because they already lost. Right.
Yeah.
So I think by doing that and then by bringing up the fraud, the things that you're going after, the social things, makes it harder for them to fight, because if anybody's name, and they already know, they know. I'm telling you, we have seen nothing yet because they have not started dropping names. Mm. And once they start dropping names who are connected, the floodgates, this is going to be, I saw a tweet by Barron Trump. This is the only way it's going to, like, people like your grandmother is going to be like, okay, I get it now. Like, to see it, it's going to be the only way people are going to open their eyes, because it's going to just be right there.
Are you talking about the fraud that Doge is exposing? Is that what you're saying? Like the money trail? Yes, because
Sorry, go ahead.
No, well, I just saw they're finally mentioning Republicans. mm-hmm. who are connected as well, which I think everybody needs to be aware. Surely right. you didn't think it was just no. one side of the swamp. Surely right. you didn't think that, right? So no. like that, there will be Republicans that we've respected that are implicated in this as well.
So, and there's gonna be some that we don't respect, like old Cocaine Mitch. So Mitch. You know, like I think like to break to the point about thousands of people dying in the media is it slowly their credibility is being broken more and more. But the spell yeah. that they've had on America, once mm-hmm. Kash Patel gets in, apparently the vote's gonna be today's Wednesday tomorrow. Yeah. Apparently it's supposed to come up there. You know, from what I heard from Glenn Beck, he said within 10 days, he was on Patrick Bet David podcast. Within 10 days, the Epstein list is going to come out.
Ooh.
And that's going to be part of breaking the spell.
I didn't hear that interview with Glenn Beck, but does he seem more optimistic? Cause everything I hear from him is like, everything's already done. We're new world order. We're here. We can't.
Oh yeah. No, he's no, but Glenn is like, he was like 10. I mean, the fact that he was like, oh yeah, it's done within 10 days. The list is coming out. This is, you know, when we in school, we've read in history books, this thing happened and that thing happened. We're now living what our kids will sit and read in history books of how they set people, Americans up on January 6th, stolen election. Yeah, and you've heard Trump's never moved on from being like the election was stolen.
Yeah, right. Never.
And I said this last night. I go, guys, the dude was shot in the head. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, they raided his house. That was terrible enough. They lawfared him. That was terrible enough. They straight up was like, we wanted to not only kill you, but break the spirit of your family and everyone that supported you, because that image that we were all supposed to see, guys,
mm-hmm.
we were supposed to see his head get blown up in front of people. That's what they wanted to do to us, just like they did to Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how did that break so many people back then?
It
so I go, what type of a man who's already like, outside of a better phrase, he's already a badass in his own right.
Yes. Yeah.
Gets shot at and survives and is like, all right, you know, patty cake. Yay. We'll see you guys later. Please don't, you know, I'll play ball. Like, no, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming for all of them. And you know, they say when you go after the king, you better kill him because you only get one shot
hanging in his, in the Oval Office too, right?
Right outside where you can see it outside the door.
Reminder of what he's
yeah. doing. Yeah, exactly. With that look too. So you walk in, you know, that one eyebrow.
Yeah. I love it.
At this point, who would have ever, you know, it's so wild. God, just what a story. But like, that he would in some ways evoke the feelings of the underdog, that this yeah. rich and powerful yeah. man evokes
billionaire,
right? That just, it evokes a sense of that we are defending the underdog because we saw the press, the media, the deep state, everybody was against him. He was down. We did not know that he could get resurrected because after J6 and the way they portrayed him,
right.
all the things they said about him, you know, you would think, how can he be resurrected from this? Even if we believe it, I think a lot of us still believed that he was the guy that could do mm-hmm. it. And it's so interesting. But one of my friends in California who was lifelong liberal, Jewish, dear, love her. But we, you know, we used to disagree on politics big time. And we don't anymore.
Yeah, she saw what happened in those colleges, huh?
Was the that's it. The awakening yeah. and then saw the press and the Facebook and Instagram suppress her content to defend Jews. And then she went, wow. And I was like, girl, welcome to the club. We've been dealing yeah. with this for years. You know, but it's wow. so interesting when she now the way she sees Trump, because I can remember being on a trip together and her husband, you know, hated him. And we were like, he hates Jews. And we were like, you know, his daughter's Jewish, right? She converted. And then like his son-in-law is a Jew. And it was like they knew that. Yeah. But it just, how does he hate his own family? And now what she sees is he's crazy enough to be the change maker we need. And mm-hmm. we need him. She's like, he's the disruptor we need.
That
and so
true.
It went from being, you know, he's hateful to understanding what yeah, he's here
yeah,
to do.
Yeah.
You know, that he's people, here to be the wrecking ball.
And, you know, I actually think as much as it sucked you know, he said something back in one of his speeches in his first term where he's like, you know, they're after you, I'm just in the way.
That's right.
And I think
I remember that.
Right. And I think that one of the best things that happened is, and I say best because it opened up so many eyes, is the fact that they did steal the election. The fact that these last 4 years woke so many people up. Mm-hmm. Like my mom, I'll never forget when he was that attempted assassination. And my mom's, you know, been liberal the whole time. She's been here in the States, and she's like, ah, that man and this, that, and the other. But she also comes from a place where they would kill you if you spoke out against the government. So she understood that, including my grandfather, her dad.
Right.
And it happened, and I turned and looked at her. I go, you know, they never try to kill the bad guys, right? And she's like, yeah, it's true. And she actually heard his, yeah, so she understood. And she actually heard that speech he made when he was like, we're going to try to cure cancer after the RNC. Yeah. And she's like, and I tell you this, this is like a big leap. She was like, that was a really good speech. She's like, she goes, as a politician, I don't believe he's going to do it, but that was a really good speech. And I was like, all right. You know,
that's even for anybody to say anything that he did was good.
Yeah,
it's a huge.
Yeah,
yeah, that's baby steps, but really, that's a giant step. Because,
that's a huge step.
Trump derangement syndrome is
real.
It is so real, and it's by far the most frustrating thing ever to deal with. But I just keep seeing. I know we've talked about this several times. It's like what everybody is opening their eyes from something else. There's it was maybe the masks or the vaccines or then the Jewish things. Then it was the J6, and then it was all these exposing things, and then him getting shot. It is so incredible to watch it all happen. And even I opened my eyes to everything, and I've even grown to love him even more because I did not at first.
I didn't like him either.
I was like, what are you doing? But I love that he was not a politician. But I will say, when you said that we are living in history, I can't tell you how many times that we've all talked about this. And I tell my kids, I'm like, I know you don't understand and appreciate this right now, but literally you are living this entire, everything that you have experienced. Like they're going to, and honestly, I'm like, I wish I was a writer for books, because I'm like, the history, who knows how they're going to write the history, but we need to be writing it. We need to be writing
it.
That's why I'm so glad we have the podcast. I'm like, we can at least go back to
this is the new history lesson.
Yeah.
Cause I've always, I wanted to be a history teacher before I've, fell in love with acting. And one of the things I always, my contention with how they teach history is they teach history like mathematics. One plus one equals two. In 1792, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, right? But that's not J6 wasn't in January 6, 2021. But no, J6 was, I was just walking there. Everybody was, they singing a national anthem. People were chilling. I left, and all of a sudden cops came, FBI came to my house 6 months later.
Yeah, that one.
That's the story. Right? But that's how we need to teach history moving forward. Yes. It's people experiencing, moments in life, not dates that just tell you when something started or when something ended. It's not a mathematical formula. It is about real people and their existence. And I think with the advent of podcasting and self-podcasting and everything, imagine what it would have been like if the founding fathers had podcasts and we could watch it. And they were talking about their process.
Hey, Siaka, I put something, plant a seed in you right now with your acting and loving history, and you have your kids come here around? I think you need to have a little series on history and portray a little.
So, from your lips to God's ears, because I'm working on something. I like to call it. We can call it here because I love it out there. It's called Biblical American, and. Basically, I took this course called Biblical Citizenship with Rick Green and Patriot Academy, and it showed me the true history and it's free, guys. So if you guys, everyone check out Rick Green, Biblical Citizenship, Patriot Academy. It's really great, free. You guys should host at your homes and stuff. Invite each other over once a week and go through it, 8 weeks. And I was looking at that and I was like, wow. There's so many things I didn't know about the history of our country. Like Indiana being called Hoosier is actually that Hoosier nickname is named after a former slave who became a reverend that Benjamin Rush himself was like, that's the greatest orator I've ever heard. No idea until I saw that, right?
Right.
You go through and you learn 36 times the Bible is referenced in our Constitution. There's the points that, you know, that was made by our founders about our core beliefs coming from God, coming from Christ and Judeo-Christian values. So one thing I want to do is to move around and get us back to, because they're merging liberty with scriptural like knowledge, right? So if we can get back to that place as biblical Americans, and let me see, do I have the book here? Because I want to show you guys this too. Because this stuff is wild. My wife, she loves to. There it is. One sec. My wife, she loved to. She looked up the name of, you know, our last name, was like, let me see who I'm marrying, right?
And maybe
I've told you guys this before, but she found this book called The First African Diplomat, which is about my great 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 grandfather Mamalu Masakwa.
Yes,
and so Mamalu,
did you know there was a book on him?
Nope. So this is what God does. Every man out there, this is what God does when he gets you a good woman, guys, because she brought this to me. Now, in the back, there is his speech. He did a whole speech that he would go around and do speeches at educational conferences here in the U.S. in 1892. So the time where they're like, America's supposed to be the most racist everything and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, so he went through, and I'm going to read this really quick to you guys. And this is the tail end of his speech. You know, he's sitting there from this, I don't know if you can see from here to here. He was, I mean, in front of thousands of people. Wow. Full African garb. And you know he had the thick accent. So you know he was speaking like a Liberian. So, you know, so it wasn't like he was talking like myself, but he goes, now, ladies and gentlemen, I congratulate you upon the fact that your education and your civilization have Christianity as their base. That's how he starts. Or that's the tail end of him finished. Empires that preceded you failed to produce such a system of education and civilization, nor will unborn nations produce a higher standard without having Christianity as a foundation. Egypt is the foremost nation of ancient civilization, permitted her people to weep over dead animals. Well, did Assyria divided a zodiac into 12 signs, named the zodiac constellations, that will forever witness their astronomical attainment, dividing the year into 12 months, the months into 4 weeks. But she was a worshiper of Baal. And may I speak of Greece and Rome, the fame of whose civilizations will still whirl through coming generations and whose histories will forever be read with an undying interest by nations yet to come. But they were blinded by paganism and skepticism. May success attain the labor. May success attain the labor of the various educational associations, and may their Christian trainings have such an effect that many sons of America will join in the gospel song. They call us to deliver their land from error's chains.
I mean,
so the chills. Core of Christianity, guys. So this is something important. I want to do. It's so important. It's why we have been and will continue to be the greatest country. As Benjamin Franklin says, this is Constitution is for moral people if they can keep it, meaning if they can keep their morality, if they can keep their Christian faith.
That's it.
So, yeah, that's something I want to do. I can, you know, think of myself as a biblical American. You can stand tall in your faith. You can defend your Constitution. You can defend your country because it is biblically sound to do that. And that's how our founders built our country on a biblical foundation. So, you know, you jumped ahead a little bit there. So, but here it comes.
Awesome.
It may come.
We need it. You know, we interviewed the Tuttle twins. What's his name? You know,
Connor.
Eric?
Connor.
Connor.
Connor. We that was several years ago, because in the time of COVID, right, it was all of the indoctrination of the educational system was so apparent. And And then parents were seeing it because their kids were learning from home. So they were seeing and hearing the indoctrination. And we were trying to wake parents up and say, hey, 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 their education is your responsibility. You can't abdicate that anymore. You gotta know what they're learning, and you gotta make sure they're learning the right things. And that's the thing too. I remember talking to people who were not from the South. My husband's family, just going back into a family history, they were abolitionists. But some of them still fought in the Civil War. In fact, two of them were killed for being abolitionists, but they fought for the South. And I remember asking my dad, like, what, how does that work? How are you anti-slavery? But he was like, because it wasn't just about slavery. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, but that's not the narrative of that war, book, right? There were nuanced things happening at the same time. That wasn't just one thing. You know?
So the funny thing about that in Charlotte, because she listens, I don't know if you guys listen to Wall Builders with David Barton. That's another great, like, if you guys ever listen, just Wall Builders, David Barton, if you want to go into like the depth of our history and be like, wait, what? So she found this book, another book called A Tale of a Thousand Voyages, or Tears of a Thousand Voyages. And it's basically about, so in 1801, I believe it was that Britain, They criminalized slavery, right? They're like, they made it illegal. 11 to 12 years later, in 1811, 1812, the United States joined them, because what they started doing was they started taking boats down to the west coast of Africa, and they started to blockade. So then in 1812, then the U.S. joined them too. So it became a decree by our Navy. So when people say, sometimes people like to say, especially, you know, some, I would like to say the revolutionaries, they'll be like, it wasn't about slavery. It was, you know, they didn't care about the black folks. Well, it was technically about both from the North perspective and from the South. There was a few different things for the average person, like you're talking about, and your family members that are abolitionists. It was about states' rights. We're seeing that right now when it comes down to just even the ability to work in certain places. For the people who were financing the war in the South, it was about slaves and cheap labor, just like the Democrats were doing right now with the open border. With the people in the North, and the fact that their goods and services were being blockaded. And it went from 11 or 12 to 1864. What happened in 1864?
Was it them?
Anyone? 1864, come on. Famous time.
Hold on.
No.
Well, I'm sitting here. I don't want to say. I don't
know. You just said your family members fought in it.
Right. Was that when there was the end of the Civil War? Was that 1864?
No, that's the beginning. That was the beginning.
Okay, I was going to say.
So basically,
I thought it was before that. Okay.
Yeah, no. So basically, you have almost 40 years, or you know, somewhere around 40 years of. If you are a slave owner, your goods have been blockaded. Eventually, you're going to go, all right, we got to do something. I mean, the only reason why the Britons took over Hong Kong the way they did was because they wanted to be able to sell opium into China. And China was like, no, let's blockade. And they're like, all right, war. And so then they had Hong Kong for 100 years. So if you think about it, like the U.S. government from the governmental level.
Yeah.
Was set up to stop the slave trade since the early 1800s. You never hear about any of that.
No.
Right? Nothing about that. So yes, it's like it is more complicated, but yet it is both the slaves and economics.
That's right. It was all tied together.
Yes.
And I think that's the important part, right, is to not black and white history, no pun intended, but to say there was a lot of conversations happening at once. There was a lot of things happening at once that contributed to a conflict. And it wasn't because then what happens is you demonize Southerners as the racist, which wasn't true. And then you turn heroes into the other side, which wasn't all true either.
There were some terrible races up North too. And only That's something you also that's funny. It's something you'll learn. I know I grew up in it. No, you'll learn if you guys take the biblical citizenship, like I'd probably say like 3 or 4 states of 13 even had slaves. And in that, about 1% of those that in those states owned slaves.
That's right.
They had, that was a wealthy thing. Slave owner in this country officially was a black man. And they had about 4,000 black people were slave owners. Yes, some of them there were their families, but then the argument could be like, so was Thomas Jefferson. He had his family as slaves, right? So it's the same argument. So when we really look at this stuff, there were also black folks that fought for the South. We've seen footage of that. They're like, there's so much in it that when it comes down to it, and one of the things they passed with the 14th and 15th Amendment, it actually reduced states' rights. And that's when everyone went under the umbrella of citizenship. Before, you were a Louisianan, you were a Mississippian, you know, you were Illinois. Now you were United States of America. So right. that, you know, there are some questions about what that does too. And everyone does some different things to go down the road about social security numbers, but we don't have that much time.
I want to go back and learn history literally all over again. I feel like it was mm-hmm. so long ago and I wasn't.
Well, we were just told what we were told. We were told all everything. I think I love that this biblical citizenship, I think
I'm telling you,
we need to hear all the stories that
it'll blow your mind, guys. Like you guys, like when we sat in there, I remember because Charlotte was already signed up for it, and she was like, "Do you want to come with me?" I was like, "Okay." We sat in the first class. I'm like, I'm looking at her. What's going on? Like I'm just like, poof, 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 and I looked into history. That was a love, and I didn't know any of this stuff. Right. And by the way, Woodrow Wilson, maybe outside of Joe Biden, has been the worst president in American history. Yes. He literally resegregated the army.
Yeah.
We had black folks that were and white folks getting along, were fine in the army together, and Woodrow Wilson came along and did that. He took out in history books all history that black folks contributed to the founding of our country over since 1776. Yeah. So Woodrow Wilson was
not a good dude. Neither was Lyndon Johnson. Neither was Lyndon Johnson. Yep. We can talk about that.
Go figure. Oh. I mean, at the end of the FDR, when he started that Great Society movement, that's really just Maoism that he was slowly coming in. It's funny, all of them happened to be for one party.
Well, there's a scripture in the Bible that says something about the wisdom
don't trust
coming
Democrats.
From the right.
No, sorry. No. sorry.
Like, what is it? It's literally like the wisdom is on the right,
and the right, and the fool's
left.
On the left. Yeah.
Although we just, you know, obviously
Ecclesiastes, nothing new under the sun. I tell you, nothing's new.
Nothing's new. Nothing's new. But I think we're living in such a great time of the truth coming to light in a way that is just so profound, and it's also escalating and it's so fast. And I'm so thankful that Trump and his team and his administration can move at the speed of which nobody can keep up. They have to, or you'd stop them. So they have to be like a bull in a china shop, just. You know,
well, and
it was on Miley Cyrus's wrecking ball.
Yeah. Well, you know what's great too? I think because they're moving in this way, it's harder for people to push back on some of their picks.
That's
because
it.
This fraud that they're exposing, then if you vote against, now you look more even connected to the fraud that they're exposing, which I love. I love they're just coming and attacking at all angles like we were attacked, and you know they aren't ready anymore, and I love it. And what I really love about the J6 pardons and my case being dismissed without with prejudice, I can say whatever I want now. I can let it out. I can say the election was stolen. Damn it. They came at me hard. I did nothing wrong. I mean, I was saying that stuff too, but the courts were unfair to J6ers.
Absolutely.
The judges were unreasonable. I'm happy most of those U.S. attorneys, if not all of them, are all fired. Go after those FBI agents that went into people's homes, that got bonuses for going into people's homes, for arresting people on the tarmac of airports. Like, all those agents, I hope you lose all your jobs. I don't give a shit. I'm sorry.
We're with it. And
keep
going. It's like
college out here. Yeah, no, I gotta. feeling.
But I want you to talk about this because there were people on the right even that were like, hey, wait, we can't pardon everybody. There were people who apparently beat up some cops. Is that what's the story?
So here's the thing. When you assault a cop, right? How much time does somebody deserve to get?
Oh, like a day in jail? I mean, really, literally, it's probably.
Probably a little more than a day.
So solitary confinement. How about that?
Exactly.
Solitary confinement with no trial or no due process.
So that's when we got to look into details of these narratives, right? Because they're like, oh, they shouldn't pardon people who beat up cops. I'm like, well, how long should they be in there? And
that's it.
And what? And the other side of it is the pardon is about that whole event. So people on the right, if you're going, well, they shouldn't do this, but that, it's like, wait a minute, no, bro. There's people in the whole event. I know someone, and Kristen, I don't know if you talked to him yet, but Mark Ibrahim.
He's coming on next week.
Yeah, perfect. You guys find out. It's like he'll break it down more, but his brother was FBI and they kept it quiet. And they went after him with the, you know, hammer of God. Like they tried to put Mark in for 20 years because he was there, Trump supporter, and he really is one. And so you see there is a difference. So my thing is the pardon isn't just because like a level of the criminality the individuals committed. The pardon was because that day itself was an entrapment of the American people. That's what the pardon is ultimately for. So the people who have been in jail for beating up cops, they did their time. But the pardon was for that. That's how we got to start framing it. The pardon was for the fact that the day itself was a setup against the American people. That's it.
Right.
It really was.
And that's the important part because, and again, let's have these, this is why we started this podcast. Let's have nuanced conversation around the facts, the facts of what happened instead of these sound bites that people fall for.
Yeah. They heard cops. And so it's like, all right, man. Okay. Well, just keep saying it. It's fine.
And since when did we start caring about cops, Democrats? I'd like to know. When did we decide to care about them?
I'm like, this is rich. Yeah, it was rich. If they cared so much, you guys will see this will come out. Why did they put majority of the Capitol Police on the other side of the building? If they cared so much, they had a handful on the side where you had thousands of almost tens of thousands or a hundred thousands of people on one end coming and marching this way. But you had majority of your force on the other side. That's weird. Didn't seem like you care that much. I've seen the footage of random people coming and take a random person. I'll say Capitol Police, remove the fencing and the warnings and the signs. Remove it out of the way. Literally 15 minutes before Trump was even done. I've seen this now. I've seen the full clear as day. My lawyer has everything. And I've sat and watched it with him when we were there. Seeing that group with Ray Epps that got there first. And they started kind of causing trouble. I've seen the D.C. police who weren't supposed to be there when the people were standing around come in, start spraying tear gas and cracking people to create that perimeter that they set up. I've seen them sit there and say, let's just spray them with gas. The worst gas, I forget the name of it, but the worst gas is you can spray people. There are people standing around. The cops like, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And only by the grace of God, they aimed at someone who was sitting on a scaffold. That would have been another person killed if they had hit that. This gas is one of the worst, you know, non-lethal gas you can do. But by the grace of God, the wind blew right back in their faces. And all these cops within seconds turned and turned to just throwing up. That's what they wanted to do. But they wanted to do that to American citizens just standing around. That's what we got to understand. These people were sick that day.
I have personally talked to people who were there and had no idea that was going on because I think they were on a different side or something.
Yeah.
Like they were like, we had no idea because I guess whatever wing it was, but they were part of it, walked over and maybe didn't do all of it. But I'm like, it was bizarre. And then they go back to their hotel and they're like, wait, what the heck is going on?
Yep.
So it just shows you like it's so bizarre.
Well, like you said, it's either the security is either needs to be fired because they're completely inept or there was a level of entrapment like we've never seen. And you know, so many little pieces of evidence point to that. If you just take little bits of information here and there, put it all together.
There's video footage.
There's video footage, and they destroyed all the evidence. Come on.
Yes, please. And I'll tell you this: when you guys have Mark on, he'll talk about it, right? I think he talked to you, Kristen, about his brother.
No, I just texted him. I haven't talked to him yet, but we've got it scheduled. So
okay, great. No, so it's going to be, I'll tell you this: and he'll break down the story. But you know how they talked about the 26 agents or not yeah. 26 informants that work for the FBI. And you heard how the news is like, no, but it was just informants. His brother's not an informant.
Oh,
he works for them and was active. So, and I sent you the picture of them blacking out his name, his face. So look at how they still lie. Oh, they still lie all the way till the end. They'll lie all the way to the gallows, guys.
Yeah. They will.
You know,
they will. That's and what it's they like, do.
Yes.
And so, they do. People will still believe them. And that's what's sad.
That's the sad part.
Well, you can't fix stupid, right? I mean, I think that's where we're at now. I mean, I'm at that point where I'm like, you know what? Y'all, at some point, survival of the fittest has to kick in. And, like, just help people, like, I don't know, either you're going to survive this new world and the new sources of information and you're going to be able to accept it, or you don't and you look like a Fruit Loop. But in any case, it just doesn't matter. Like, you know, it's going to all play
Which is number one on the food pyramid, I guess, too, right? It's better than steak and eggs and cheese.
It's on the way out. But I have to ask you, Tulsi Gabbard before we, because Tulsi was on that same like fly list. And so she was considered a threat to democracy like you were. And now the people who put her on that list, God has put her over. Which if that's not just divine vindication, I don't know what is. But what are your thoughts on Tulsi? Have you met her yet, Siaka?
No, I haven't. I have not met Tulsi yet. My thoughts on her is that I loved her when I first – I love her, but I loved her when I first saw her. I liked her her measured behavior, or I like her anti-war policy. I like the fact that she would speak from someone who saw her friends be butchered and maimed in something that we should, these regime change wars. She was actually speaking in the way that I grew up as a Democrat, like hearing. I've heard those people saying those things. And now I watched her get, basically she was one of the first ones to get the Trump treatment, you know, from the Democrats. She was kicked out. She wasn't allowed to go into the DNC convention one year when she was actually a co-chair. Because if she was pushed, she was like saying stuff against it. So I'm looking for her, just like our, just like Cash and everyone, to come in there, and we got to bulldoze this whole thing down. We got to. The people that have been suckling off the teat of the government are sitting there screaming because it's good for them. But for it, to me, it's since they shot Kennedy, they have destroyed this country slowly, death by a thousand cuts. And I always like to lean on the Black community first to go look at what that looks like, because that's not what the way it's supposed to be. Imagine what our country would be like. And this is how rich we actually are, guys, that they could send billions of dollars. Almost. I mean, we could be trillion in debt and yet still be able to start businesses and still be able to do this and still be able to buy homes. And still, like, it is so, we're so wealthy here, and Trump is right, that they could put us in debt that our kids and my son has lost his future because of that. It's wild. But the results of that, I look into those urban cities, look into places like Skid Row starting in the 70s to see what it would be like. And they're paying the head of the homeless agency out there over $400,000 to run it. You're like, what's going on? These people are evil. These people are evil, guys. At this point, I'm just no more. Like, I have grace. I'll try to have love them all, like as Christ said. But at the same time, I point out exactly the truth of who they are. Like, this is evil, godless, death cult stuff.
That's right. And I think that too, that's another shift I've seen, is that we went from, I think for so long, and to our detriment, we were trying to be polite. We were trying to all have polite discourse. And I'm saying probably people on both the left and right. And there was a time where we were like, we can disagree, but let's have the conversation. And for so long, I feel like the people who could see the truth got quieter because we were getting bullied into silence.
Even if
it was subvert, it was like, even if it wasn't something we were very cognizant of, you stopped talking because then you look like a bigot and you look like a racist or whatever they want to call you. Anti-vax or whatever bad word they want to call you. And so you get quieter. But now that shifted, because what I loved is literally the day after the election, I said to Kristen and Amy, just look at the people who've been quiet. They're not quiet anymore, because subconsciously they went, I am not alone. I am not alone. I am also not crazy. Right. And so the amplification of the voices of reason and truth, which is really the voice of God, if you think about it, because that's where all truth is rooted.
He's the way, the truth.
It's right. sounding, it's starting to really resound. And I just pray that, you know, for you, and I'm glad that your fight is over, but I do want you to tell, because I saw you on Fox News that night and I was like, Paul, there's Siaka. And so I keep seeing you. They keep having you on as a guest. Do you see yourself yeah. doing more and more of that kind of?
Yeah. I mean, I've been on so far. I mean, since I was a vice chair in LA before I left, I was doing that. And they actually yeah. reached out to me. They're like, can you still have you on? I'm like, okay. And they, to me, it's an honor that they rent out a studio for me. I go down in there, I do my segment, and I can go home. And I feel honored that they want me back to be able to do that. So I honestly, you know, I got another kid coming, so I need the profile to be elevated as much as possible. So yeah. I can, my wife can stay home and continue to take care of the home like that. And I can provide and do all that. So I want to do more Fox. I want to do more Tim Pool, like I did last night. I want to bring, but ultimately not just be on those shows to talk about it. Like I told you, do things like biblical American, go around to different places in our country and revitalize the education or knowledge of the greatness of these spots. I want to bring in entertainment, like in a way that we can laugh, we can think deeply about. Like there's some cool things that I'm working on that I want to do, because yeah, why not? Like, this is a skill set that the Lord has given me. I've been in Hollywood for almost 20 years, quietly struggling in some capacity, especially when I started to come out more as a conservative. And now I'm like, no, let's make conservatism as cool as possible. Make the Republican Party shift up where we can be bold. Because I was on the left. I watched them. They were bold. They kicked in doors and they did all this stuff.
Right.
The difference is, we can be loud too, but we have the truth behind us.
That's right.
They had lies, so they had to be louder longer. We really need to be as loud every once in a while. And it's like, oh.
It's like a lion, right? You know? The truth is like a lion. If you just give it time, it's going to roar.
It's going to roar. And I love the fact, and what I want to do really is like, I want to see and be a part of making entertainment content outside of the traditional norms, because I think people, and we saw Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson are starting to do this, because they're starting to film a lot of filming going on in Texas. Tennessee's happening. I actually shot a little project in Kentucky, first time I was ever there. And you see, I know that Patrick Bet-David wants to do movies forever out of Florida. I would love, just like the education system they want, is to have different states be the ones telling the story of America, coming up with different stories and not having it. Because when you move out to New York or LA, right, even if you come from the Midwest, you move out there, and to assimilate to where you are, you have to start to lean towards how they believe.
Yeah.
So then as you're writing something about, you know, maybe like if you're talking about your family members who are abolitionists, but they fought for the South, but yet now they're in Hollywood. How do you tell that story without having to click those buttons that Hollywood says that's the only way we're going to give you money in order to make it real?
That's
it.
But then if you can be back to, you know, stay where you are and then get investors, this is an implore out there, because I know conservatives and Republicans have money. So come on, man. Y'all got to put it into the arts, because that's how they capture the heart on the other side.
Totally.
Like, get people that, like, understand your investment is a generational thing. Plant a tree now for the shade for others later. Not just, oh, well, I didn't see the return right now, because it took time for them.
Yeah.
It took time for them to really get over.
And there's a market for it too. I think that's the other thing. You know, the rise of comics like Nate Bargatze, who's clean and Christian,
yeah.
You know,
and good.
And like, he's good. Really good. And Nate is so good. Brewer. And I've followed Nate
Jim
for years. Yeah, yeah. Well, I followed Nate for years, you know, because I liked that my whole family could enjoy him. And now to see him as the number one comic in America right now in terms of revenue from all his Netflix and all that. But, you know, listen. Wow. There's a real hunger for good content that's family friendly, and we're seeing, you know, we're even starting to see Hollywood sort of bow a little bit to some of it and give us a little more of it. But to your point, Taco, it needs to come from like authentic places, from people who legitimately care about the truth and really want to put that out there.
Well,
so we do. You're right. We need to give more,
because it's like we've been the silent majority, and obviously we've spoken. Now we are the majority, and I know we've been talking about this too, that I'm like, why do they get to be loud? Why do they get to talk? And why do we get censored? Why do we feel bad saying something, or why do we hesitate putting something out there? we shouldn't have to be like that. We all have the same voice.
That usually comes from shame, right? Mm-hmm. Shame, and ultimately shame is connected to fear.
Yep.
And 365 times in the Bible it says, fear not.
Fear.
Mm-hmm. Right. So then if we're moving in that shame and fear as Christians, we're not trusting the Lord.
It's not.
And I still go through it. I'd be like, just come on, you know, like, let's go. Like, so it's not, I'm not saying this, I'm saying this for myself just as much as, to you guys and everyone listening. It's like, we got to remember, God tells us for every day of the year, he says, fear not. Day of the year. Right. So that fear is not from God. So if we're moving and we see that we ought to speak, because we are ambassadors in chains, and it says in Ephesians 6, come on, guys. Like, we've seen the result of not speaking. We've seen it. Mm-hmm. We've lived it for 4 years.
Yep. That's right. Exactly. And let's just take a minute and say thank you to everyone who used their voice when you got. It's easier to do it now. It was not hard. The last 4 years were brutal at times.
Yeah.
And we all four of us have experienced that in a variety of ways. And, but let me just say this. There's a thing about hard things. Hard things are hard usually at first. They're the hardest at first. And they get a little easier. You get a little tougher and you get a little stronger. And you get a little more resilient and you get a little more determined to just not care what everyone thinks. If the truth is the truth, then you got that on your side. Then that's what you stand on. And I'm just very proud. I know so many of our listeners, like, they found their courage in the last 4 years to speak up and speak out, whether it was on behalf of their kids and their health, whether it was on behalf of just, the truth and being able to say what you think. Like, that's why we created Just Think. We wanted to challenge people to just do that and then say what you think, And Amen. So Amen. Thank you for being one of those ambassadors, Siaka, because we love you. And we are so thankful that we've gotten to know you through this process. We're going to keep following and we're going to bring you back to give us these updates. And also, again, let's think about what we can do for the arts. Look at this boy. Y'all.
Oh, I want to squeeze
you.
Y'all.
I know. So, he's dancing. Jamie. He's dancing now. Yeah.
And Xavier's got, we think, a little sister on the way. So y'all
think a little sister on the way.
Life is changing for the better, my friend.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. They are a gift from God, guys. I'll leave you guys with this. If you're anyone under the age of, let's say, 35, you think you want to have kids sometime. Actually, let me go 32. Because, for females, you get 35, geriatric, you don't want to do it. And the guys, but for 32 and younger, have them early because they're a young person's game. My knee, my back, my shoulders. Oh, my goodness. I am paying for it now, guys. No, YOLO my butt. Start at 26 at the latest, guys. Like, get these kids out sooner so you can play with them without being like, I need a nap. Yeah.
Listen, my oldest is 26, my youngest is 18, so we're getting ready to be empty nesters at 50. And I gotta tell you, good. We feel great, but we did it when we were younger, and that's why we're gonna get to enjoy retirement and still feeling youthful because we did it early.
I'm gonna be 55 when he's 10. I'm like,
it's gonna be okay.
But it's okay. It's gonna be fine.
He will keep you young.
Yeah, you have to. This kid is so strong. I'm hitting the gym like 4 times a week now just because I know he's coming for me.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, he's coming for me.
He is. Yeah, he will 100%.
So do it young, please. If there's anything you learned from the day, screw the history stuff, screw the freedom stuff. Just have kids young because your body will fall apart.
Oh my gosh. Well, you guys, thanks for joining us. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Siaka's friend, another J6er with another perspective and just more of the exposure of the deep state and why you need to know what was really going on. So guys, thank you, Siaka, for being with us.
If you guys, real quick, I still have a $20,000 weight over my head from the legal fees because of everything I pushed out. So yes, if anyone wants to continue to help with that, we really would appreciate it. Go to defendsiaka.com. That's defend, SIAKA.com. Follow me on Instagram at _SiakaMaskwa and X at @Siaka_Maskwa. And let's talk and connect. I love it.
I want you to reach out to Jeff Childers with Coffee and COVID because he does a multiplier thing. I bet he would. He's a lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
And we read his Substack every single day. Coffee and COVID is what it's called. He's amazing. You will love everything he writes.
He's writing amazing.
So he's hilarious and just like
send it. Can you send it to me?
Yes, I'll send it to you. I want you to get in touch with him. And then also maybe you could just get in touch with Elon, the Doge, and just get some of the taxpayer money. Go on.
I know. I was like, hey guys, hey. That's why I need cash. We need cash to get in there.
Hey, the people who are whining about the taxpayers, they need to shift those taxes. Don't go back to them. They go to the J6ers.
Exactly. So that's why we need cash in there because when we start to see, if you start to see out there and the evidence that can be shown is entrapment, a lot of people are owed a lot of restitution for what happened to them. So let's pray on that. People sold their farms to try to defend themselves in court. Think about that.
For misdemeanors, by the way.
Not even people who were violent towards cops, like average people went into debt, mortgaged their homes, like all this stuff, or leveraged their homes. So it's wrong.
We're gonna keep bringing it to light. So thank you, Siaka, for being with us.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, right. Have a good one. I gotta go eat and take a nap.
Go eat. All right, bye. All right, bye, y'all.